Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for being our God. Lord, tonight we will talk about heaven. All of us, heaven is a sweet place. To those of us that are getting older and to those of us who have been around a while, it's even sweeter. God, I pray that as we revel in a truth tonight, that you would burn it deep in our hearts and our minds and make it sweet to the taste and sweet to the belly, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, I want to talk about a place called heaven. I'm not sure you'll call this a sermon. It's a little bit more like just taking the truth and enjoying it for a while. But I live with the news of death constantly. In the last 3 weeks, I have taken phone calls about 6 different deaths. It's just the way I live. Matter of fact, let me change that. 8 deaths in 3 weeks. I forgot about 2 of them. You see, I think I know funeral homes as much as I know my own home. I never want to be comfortable at a funeral home. Amen. Once I'm comfortable at a funeral home, I won't be comfortable because I'm going to be looking down. Amen. Just the thought of somebody else dressing me doesn't excite me. Amen. Just not something good about that. And dead sure them putting makeup on this ugly face isn't going to do much either. Brother Mike, you're going to need a lot of paint on that face, let me tell you. He's going to have to go all the way back. I was either taking Brother Hiles to or from an airport one day, and he and I got to talking, and I said, Brother Hiles, may I ask you a question? He said, you may. And I said, why is it that someone in their senior years like you, no, I'm not calling you old, and he kind of chuckled. I said, why is it that a preacher in their senior years can preach on heaven and it just dwarfs whatever someone my age could even think of? And of course, if you knew Brother Hyle's satire, you knew you set yourself up to get slapped on that one. He said, that's easy, because no matter what I preach, it's better than you. I said, besides that point, I said, it just seems like an older preacher can preach on heaven, and it just is different. I said, what's the difference? He said, that's easy. That's easy. He said, I know more people there than I do here. Okay. And on we went. That was his total answer. And we changed subjects and went on. I will not be able to give you the 74 years of life experience Brother Hiles gave you. But I can give you 46 years and 25 of it in full-time ministry. We all will face death. We all will have or will face the death of people that we love. I realize some of those deaths may involve people that aren't even in heaven. And that's tough. You have to understand something. I have I have been at funerals for babies that were stillborn. I have been at funerals for infants, small children, teenagers, college age, young adults, young married couples, husbands, wives, middle-aged people, senior citizens, and people that were over 100 years old. I've been to all of them. I don't know that I could count how many funerals I've been to. I'd be shocked if it weren't near 1,000. I'm serious. And that's just the funerals I've been to. That's not the people that I know that have died. That's just the funerals. Tonight, I want to talk about a place, a real place, called heaven. Tonight, I just jotted some notes down in recent weeks about heaven. I call the, I don't know if you call it a sermon, but the title of my talk, Why I Cannot Wait for Heaven. Why I Cannot Wait for Heaven. I want to share some of my thoughts with you tonight. I only have three main thoughts, but don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. Thought number one, what will not be in heaven? Why can I not wait for heaven? Number one, because of what's not going to be there. Say, what's not going to be there? There's going to be no more sin in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Folks, do you understand that when you get to heaven, there's going to be no more sin there? Now, there was sin there at one time, I understand, but sin does not dwell there because he kicked the sinner out and the sinners. We will have been justified. Guess what? That means you will never face temptation to do wrong ever again. Miss Arlene, your daddy's not sinning anymore. He's not even facing temptation. Do you realize that when you get to heaven, there will be absolutely no temptation to do wrong because there'll be no wrong to do? Do you realize that this thought motivates me? I won't have to disappoint my Savior, Brother Jerry. I won't have to look at him and say, I'm sorry, I blew it again. I did wrong. I'm so sorry. I'll never have to say that again when I get to heaven. Now, if you're a shouter, get your shoes ready because here it comes. Do you realize that when you get to heaven, there's even no memory about your sin? Woo! Do you realize when you, this thing got a hold of me. That means I won't even remember any of my sins because there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So in God's eyes, we did not sin, and when we get there, it's wiped clean. We will know that we had sinned because we were redeemed, but guess what? We won't remember what they are, just like God won't. He will take that away. Can I tell you why? Because for us to remember what the sin is, we will remember and be tempted by that sin again. And God says, I'm going to wipe it clean. It is as though it was not there. I am so thankful there'll be no sin in heaven. Guess what else won't be there? Not going to be any pain there. There's going to be no hurting joints. And I'm not talking about the ones that some of you smoke. Whether it's for medicinal purposes or not. I'm talking about there's going to be no more cancer. There's going to be no more MS, Brother Jerry. There's going to be no more lupus. There's going to be no more any other disease you might have. ADD, ADHD, and all the other alphabet soup diseases that are out there. Amen. There's not going to be any physical pain there. Now, listen to this. There's going to be no emotional pain there. We all face emotional pain. Can I tell you something? It's not going to be there. You're going to get there and say, Shazam, what's this all about? Wow. Can I tell you something else that's not going to be there? There's going to be no bills in heaven. No tax collectors, no bill collectors, no debt. It's all paid for, free and clear. Never have to make a payment again. Glory to God, get us out now. Can I tell you something else? There'll be no tears in heaven. Say why? Because there'll be no sin in heaven. I realize at some point in time, and there's some discussion, pardon my theology here, there may be for a while some tears there, but God says he'll wipe them away from our eyes. I don't know about you. As a young man working on staff with Brother Hiles, I heard him in his latter years say, life is a veil of tears. I'd watch him preach and I'd watch him weep. I hurt for people, but never like I do now. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking forward to not having to cry anymore. I'll be honest with you. I look forward to not having to catch tears anymore because I realize those tears mean pain. I look forward to the day when I don't have to tell someone their loved one is gone on and try to help them through it. That I don't have to look at a mama and daddy and say their child's broken their heart and catch their tears. I don't have to look at a child and say their mama or daddy has broken their heart and catch their tears. Say, what else is not going to be in heaven? There's going to be no loss and no death. You realize there's going to be no death, no cemeteries in heaven? Glory to God. Cemeteries are, man, they're spooky places. I'm not one of these tickle-feely, weirdo, spooky-feely people, but I don't like cemeteries. Now, I go there a lot, but I still don't like them. Say why? I don't want to be around dead people. Now, I don't believe in spirits and all that kind of stuff that, you know, you got to hold your breath while you go drive by the cemetery so that those people's spirits don't come into you. That's poppycock and tomfoolery. But can I tell you something? I don't like cemeteries. Have you ever been one of those at night? They really are spooky. You say, what is it? It's just your mind playing tricks on you. They're not getting up, just so you know, not till the rapture. And if that happens, you're going up with them, or if you're lost, you're going to die right there. Boom. Say why? Because it'll scare you to death. Can I tell you something else that won't be in heaven? There's going to be no more war in heaven. We never have to send our boys or our young people overseas to fight. There's going to be no battles between two brothers or a brother and a sister or between two sisters. There's no war in heaven. There's not going to be a battle between a husband and a wife over differences of opinion. There's going to be no more war. Can I tell you something else that won't be there? There won't be people that you love that hurt and you can't do anything to help them. Because they're not going to be hurting. I know that pain. You multiply the pain a parent has for a child that hurts, and there's very little you can do, and that's how a pastor feels constantly for his people. At least if he's doing it the right way. I hurt. Miss Arlene, I couldn't tell you how many times I've prayed for you and your family and thought about you. You got tired of my texts, probably. I thought of Jenny Nolan this week and all that she's gone through, and I texted her yesterday in the middle of the day, and I just said, I've been praying for you. Say why? Because I hurt and I can't help. I know that pain, that there's so little that you can do. You want to know something else that won't be there? According to Revelation chapter 22, there will be no more curse. Yeah. That means no more curse on your eyes, no more curse on your body, no more curse on your mind, no more curse on this earth. Because once you get there, God relinquishes that curse. No more sweating, fellas. Ladies, the instability of your life will be gone. all those curses God placed on man because of sin in the Garden of Eden, when you get to heaven, guess what? It's lifted. It's gone. I'm looking forward to heaven. You know why? Because there's some things that won't be there. Let me be a little personal for a moment. Point number two is this. Why am I excited about, what am I looking forward to heaven for? Because of the people we'll get to see when we get there. The people we'll get to see when we get there. When I get there, I get to see my Savior. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I think of that song, "What a Day That Will Be," when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand, He reaches that hand that has a nail hole in it, puts it into mine and says, "Son, let me show you around. Let me take you to your mansion. Let me show you around heaven for a while." I don't know about you. I have preached thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and I have spent time with my God, and I could not tell you how many precious people that I have been on their deathbed, and I'll promise you, I have said this to them. "You're going to make it there probably before I do. Would you do me a favor? Would you tell Jesus I love Him and give Him a hug for me till I get there? I can't wait to put my arms around my Savior and hug His neck and tell Him face to face how much I love Him." Whew. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day. I get to see God the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, but when we get there, guess what? We'll be able to. I'll get to see the Holy Spirit in person. I get to see my grandpa that died when I was day after my 13th birthday, my grandpa Maury. I'll get to hear his voice. I'll get to hear that breathy laugh of his. I'll just get to hear him again. I'll get to see Grandma and Grandpa Bush. I got to preach both of their funerals. I'll get to hear Grandma squeal when I get there. You have to understand, Grandma was about, what, 4'10", 4'11", maybe? Well, she was 5 foot before she got old and shrunk. just tiny little old thing. But I tell you what, you didn't cross Grandma. Y'all know, y'all have one of those, you know, you could go, she was an old farm girl, and you didn't want to cross her. But when she got happy, she kind of squealed a little bit. I can't wait to hear that. I can't wait. I remember. I get to see Brother Hiles again. Again, I'm sorry, but he was my pastor. Amen. He was the first person I ever called preacher in my life. And that man loved me. Guess what? I'll get to see him again. Say, "What are you going to do?" I'm going to run up and throw my arms around him and say, "I love you, preacher." I can't wait to hear that, "I love you too, Craig," again. Can't wait. I'm going to get to see Brother Bajan again. My buddy. My hunting buddy. My soul winning buddy. My friend. I get to see Brother Mike again. Glory to God. Took my daughter out to the farm last night. Took my gun on a walk with us. Amen. Shooting groundhogs. I was sitting there. She wasn't going to shoot nothing, but I was going to have fun with some blood and guts. Amen. We were sitting there, and I said something about Brother Mike, and you could just feel the tenderness of the moment. Say why? Because he and I have spent many an hour on that piece of property. We've talked through a lot of things out there. When Brother Mike had a problem, he'd say, "Brother Bush, let's go shoot hogs." That was his stress relief. I'd go out and he'd say, "Brother Bush, I got a problem. Can you help me?" I said, "Sure, I'll try." I can't tell you how many times that spot where we sat down last night, Mindy, Brother Mike would put his gun on the ground, I'd put mine on the ground, we'd get on our knees and get on our face before God and say, "God, we got to have help here." Just out in the middle of a field. Say why? I'm going to get to see Brother Mike again. I was thinking. There was, our first church a long time ago out in California. There were some folks that were kind of like adopted grandparents to us, Hein and Grace Hofstra. I'm sure both of them are in heaven by now. We'll get to see Hein and Grace again. Ornery old Dutchman, let me tell you, for some reason that man loved me. He loved my wife. He didn't love me. But just the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and probably thousands of people that we have met in our ministry all over this country that will be in heaven, I'll get to see him again. I'll get to see Adam. Did you ever wonder what he looked like? I'm going to get meet that rat. I might punch him in the nose. I'm not sure. No. I'll get to meet my favorite Old Testament hero, Moses. I don't know of a more spiritual, greater leader in the Old Testament than Moses. I'm going to get to meet him. You know, I don't think he has his hair parted down the middle because of the Red Sea either. But I'm going to get to meet King David. I don't know about you, but I just want to know what he looked like. The man after God's own heart. That's the kind of guy I want to meet. I don't know about you, but I want to see King David. I want to get to talk to him. Say, are you going to be afraid to talk to him? I ain't afraid to talk to nobody. When I get there, hey, we're on level ground there, amen? I'm going to mention a Bible character here that few would probably even know and associate with, but I can't wait to meet Jonathan, David's friend. What a guy. What a hero. I'm going to get to meet Samuel, the prophet, the kingmaker. Samuel, the guy that looked at the king, pointed his bony finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man." Whoo, man, that takes some guts. I'm going to get to meet David's mighty men. You talk about a list of guys that I want to meet. You talk about a rough bunch of dudes. Them's the kind of guys I want around me. I'm going to get to meet John the Baptist. Now, I'm not eating grasshoppers and wild honey. He can eat all the grasshoppers he wants. When God said, rise, kill, and eat, I don't think he had that in mind. But I want to meet John the Baptist, the physical cousin of Jesus, the one that prepared the way for the Lord. I'll get to meet all of the disciples except Judas Iscariot. I'll let Brother Hawkins take care of that one. Gotcha, brother. No, I get to meet Peter and James and John and Matthew and Bartholomew and the rest of the disciples. We'll get to meet them all. Whew. Get to meet the Apostle Paul. Son. Get to meet Timothy and Titus. I get to meet Dr. J. Frank Norris. I've read a lot of things about J. Frank Norris, and of course he died long before I was alive, but I look forward to meeting J. Frank Norris. Get to see Brother Roloff again. And he's not going to be flying a Cessna plane either. Oh, my soul, the stories. I'll get to see my cousin, Cheryl, who was killed with Brother Roloff that day. I was listening to, I have just a little bit of music of hers when she was singing with Brother Roloff. And you say, what did she sound like? When you hear my daughter, it's about like listening to Cheryl. It's enough to give you goosebumps up and down your back. It's almost scary. I get to see Cheryl again. I'm going to get to meet Charles Spurgeon, the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, preaching at the Spurgeon Tabernacle in London, preaching to 5,000 and 6,000 people at a time and filling that auditorium sometimes 5 and 6 times every Sunday. Shook the entire continent of Europe for God. Whew. That's the kind of guy I want to meet. Meet D.L. Moody, George Mueller, Billy Sunday, Going to get to see Brother Boyd again, Brother Hawkins. Going to get to see Brother Dr. Lee Robertson again. Wearing a double-breasted blue suit. Down the line, never vary. No. Here we go. Point number one, God is good. Point number two, God is great. Sound about right? Yeah. Honey, we're going to get to see Miss Wilson again. Little old black lady that was in a nursing home in Charleston, South Carolina. She was about 95, 96. One of the sweetest, Christian, most godly ladies I've ever met in my life, Miss Wilson. I have a tape of hers. That's how far back it was. I have a tape of Miss Wilson singing the last time my wife and I went there. And I can hear her now. Oh, honey. She used to call me her white preacher. Now, you have to understand, we were in the deep South. It wasn't racial. That's just what it was. Amen? Brother Mrs. Hawkins, you know what I'm talking about. You're from that city. And she'd say, oh, my white preacher's here. She spent 68 years in the senior choir of her church. That means the adult choir. 68 years in the adult choir alone. That woman could bring down heaven when she sang. I have her singing, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And she'll squall, oh yeah. And she'd say, oh, my daily occupations to pray for you. Oh, my soul, get to see Miss Wilson again. And she's not going to be laying in a bed. She's going to be running around, clapping her hands, having a spell. I get to see a preacher friend of mine who died of very horrible cancer, fought it once and beat it, got it back, a man named Jeff Jones. Left a wife and I think three kids. Little David, his son, the day of his funeral, actually the day he died. We got there just hours after he died. We went back to the house with Janice and the kids, and David jumped up on my lap, must have been about 4 years old, jumped on my lap. He said, Brother Bush, as only a child could, he said, my daddy's in heaven. He can't play with me no more. Would you be like my daddy and play with me today? I threw my arms around that little boy and squeezed his neck and said, son, I'll play with you, but I could never be like your daddy. And we got on the floor and played trucks. Whew. Brother Jeff, I'm going to get to see you again someday, buddy. Died a horrible death. Everything shut down. When you'd go visit him, you had to go into a special room and you had to stick your arms in a machine and have these machines clean your hands. Then they gloved you clear up to your shoulders, gowned you, masked you, and gowned you again over top of that with rubber gloves. Every individual room in that ward had its own air system, an air supply system, so that there was no cross-contamination. His kidneys and liver had shut down to the point where his skin was, it looked like the outside of an avocado. It was so nasty. I remember those days. Brother Jeff, I'm going to get to see you again, buddy. He started a church in Columbia, South Carolina, when he had cancer, and he started it in the hospital. He said, I can't go out there. I'm starting it here. And I don't know how many doctors and nurses that man won to Christ. What a hero. I'll get to see Brother Demers, Brother Cummins, Brother Henniger. We're going to get to see some of our presidents that have been saved. And a lot of them were. I'm not sure any of the current ones are. So some of the people, some of the things that won't be in heaven I look forward to, some of the people that will be I'm looking forward to. And I'll wind it up here quickly. There are some things in heaven I want to see. I'm talking about actual physical things. Might surprise you. Do you know what the first thing I'd like to see in heaven is? Not person. It's not my mansion. I don't give a rip about that. As long as I'm there, I don't care where I'm at. The Hawkins, the first actual thing I'd like to see, I want to go see the blood on the mercy seat. Whew. That's the reason I'm there. That's what I've preached all these years. I want to see the very blood that got me there. By the way, it'll be there. It'll be there. Or we're not going to be. That means I want to see the tabernacle. I've preached on the tabernacle an awful lot. I want to see the true tabernacle in heaven. I want to see that holy place. I want to see the table of showbread and the golden candlestick and the altar of incense. And I want to see the one in heaven doesn't have a veil there, because it was rent in twain from top to bottom by Jesus himself. And there's no need for it, because we have direct access as high priest to get there. You can tell me I'm wrong. I don't care. You don't have to agree with me. But I think the throne of God is the mercy seat that sits on the Ark of the Covenant in heaven. I just happen to believe that. I'm going to actually get to see the throne of God that is probably on the mercy seat, because as Jesus, the Son, sits there beside him, he says, there's the blood, Father. There's the blood, Father. There's the blood, Father. You can't judge him. There's the blood. I paid for it. That's my blood, God. You've got to accept it. That's my blood. Whoo! I don't know about you, but that's what I want to see. I want to see how God matches our homes to our desires. I believe God personalizes everything. I don't think he's got a big condominium up there and said, okay, which one y'all want? I think he's going to have the colors there, and I'm going to get to see them in the right way. I'm going to get to see them without glasses. I'm going to get to see them in full, vibrant color. Say, what else do you want to see, Brother Bush? I call it a thing. I know it's not a people. But I want to meet the angels that have been protecting me. I put them in overdrive more than once. I want to shake their hand and thank them for whatever they kept me from. I got in enough with them. Can you imagine how bad it would have been without them? Good night. I got another thing I want to see. And I'm about to have a spell here. But I want to see my name in the book of life. I want to see it in God's writing. Not because I don't believe it's there, but I just want to see it. I'd like to go to the book of life and have God open it up and say, Craig, right there it is. Right there. Whew. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. I want to see all the diversity of heaven, the beauty of it. And lastly, I'll turn to one other passage, Revelation chapter 22. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read three verses, the first three verses. The last book, last chapter of the book, the Bible says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. I don't know about you, but I want to see that tree. I don't know exactly how this works. But I do know that the Bible says that the throne of God, there'll be a river of pure river of life that flows out of it. That gives us our eternal life. And on either side of that river, it talks about these trees that line that river of life that are for the healing of the nations, and it bears 12 manner of fruit, and it bears fruit 12 months a year. I've heard preachers say, that means it bears a different kind of fruit every month. I don't know that that's true. We think too humanly when we think about heaven. God's big enough God to let it bear all 12 kinds of fruit on one tree for 12 months a year. I kind of tend to lean that way, thinking the fact that there will be fruit in multiplying year and day after day after day after day. God's a big enough God to do that. Say why? For the healing of the nations. We'll no longer hate communist Russia because it won't be communist. We'll no longer hate the liberals in America because they won't be there. The nations will be healed. There'll be unity. You realize for the first time since the fall of man, there will be unity without sin. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing those trees. You say, why? Because I'm going to pick the fruit, and I'm going to pick all 12 of them and eat all 12. Say, are you sure? God said I could. Say, why? Said the leaves were for the healing of the nations, not the fruit. You can eat the leaves. I'm going to eat the fruit. Amen? Y'all that drink that green nasty stuff, you know, you can have the leaves. I'm going to eat the fruit. Heaven. I know it really wasn't much of a sermon. Can I tell you something in closing? Your friends and loved ones that are there have been witness to all of those things already. Miss Arlene, your daddy's been up there about a week now, and he's seen it all. He's seen it all. Brother Hiles has been there 12 years. He's having, as he would say, he's up there playing tag with the angels. They would not come back if you could get them back. I've been working on a sermon. Can you imagine how mad Lazarus must have been having to rise from the dead? Having to leave heaven and come back here? His family sure was excited, but nowhere in Scripture does it say Lazarus was real happy about it. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Guess what? He wasn't real happy. He got jerked back to this old nasty place. Then he had to die again. They wouldn't come back even if they could. Say, but I miss him. Yeah, but it's a whole lot better there. Can I tell you something? Don't fear death. Don't grieve over the fact that a loved one is dying or has died. Grieve over the loss, yes, but don't grieve over the fact that they're in heaven. Good night. They're better off than we are. You say, does that mean we should never cry when people die? No, that means we miss them. We're going to miss their presence here. Just like my wife misses my boys that are at college. And yes, I do too. I didn't mean it quite that way. But can I tell you something? They're doing fine in heaven. Everything's okay. Remember the song? Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. And there's no pain, no sickness. There's a lot of things that won't be there. There's a lot of people there that we know. And guess what? There's a lot of things there that we're going to get to see. Say, what are you going to do? Probably every day I'm going to run by that book of life just to make sure God didn't take my name out. Say, why? Thank God there's no memory of sin there because maybe he won't take my name out. What a wonderful place it is. Heaven is a wonderful place. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You need parents to make sure as your children grow up, you talk to them about heaven. Talk to them about death even. Don't shield them from it. It's part of life. Do you know somebody that's there? Maybe you need to say it's okay that they're there. Instead of getting mad at God, why don't you be happy for where they're at? Maybe you've lost a child. I don't know what the need is, but maybe you just need to settle it.